Welcome to the house of God. Today, is the last time in study the book of Romans. Let us see the book of Romans last part. If we say Romans is the sermon of Paul, we can say these last three verses is his. Romans 16, verse 25 to 27, three verses. Let us read three times. First, I will read whole verses. And after me, you read the whole verses. And third time, last, let us read together. Okay. First, let me read from first to last. Now, to him, God, who is able to establish you by my gospel. Can you say gospel, your gospel? My gospel. And the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever and ever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay. Would you read? Amen. Amen. Romans close with amen. Okay. One more time. Let us read together. Ready, go. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for all ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the commands of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is Paul's benediction. Benediction. Last verse. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The letter to the Romans comes to an end with doxology, which is also summary of gospel. Summary of gospel, which Paul preached and loved with his whole life, with his whole hearts. As we know, this book, Romans, starts with gospel and close with gospel. Romans starts like this, chapter 1, verse 1, introducing himself, Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart, separated for the gospel of God. And he says continually, verse 14, I'm so eager, you remember? I'm so eager to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. In this gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness is from faith, from first to last. As it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Then in this last part, again, Paul summarizes the characteristics of the gospel. Yes, gospel has so many characteristics, but according to these only three verses, very short, but these three verses shows many, many characteristics of the gospel. According to these verses, I want to share with you at least five characteristics of the gospel. And according to last verse, to only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Glory, yes. The ultimate purpose of all universe, including you and me, is to reveal glory, to glorify his name. Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Also, Bible encourages us, challenges us, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So at the last part of this sermon, I want to share with you how we can bring glory to God. Okay, first, let us see five characteristics of the gospel. Okay, number one, it is a gospel which enables us to stand up, stand firm, establish strength. In verse 25, first part says, to him who is able to establish means stand firm, strengthen, stabilize you by my gospel, by this gospel. Yes, gospel has power. Gospel is power which make us stand four square against the shocks of this world and the attacks, assaults of temptation. It is only gospel which can make us stand firm in this world. Gospel has power to make us to overcome all problems, all difficulties. Yes, we know through our experience in our living in this world, sometimes our life can be difficult. Do you agree? Our life can be sometimes or many times difficult and dangerous, perilous, depressed, stressed with pressure, uneasy, unstable. But remember, gospel is God's power to save us. Gospel has power to overcome all problems, all difficulties, all sufferings in this world. That power which keeps us erect, even when our life is at its worst, in its most threatening. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1-2 says, Now I want to remind you of this gospel I preach to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand, because by this gospel you are saved. By this gospel we can overcome any problem, any difficult situations in this world. So first characteristic of gospel is it is a gospel which makes us to stand firm. Please stand firm in the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Second characteristic is it is a gospel which Paul preached and which was offered by Jesus Christ. We can see last second parts of this verse 25. To him who is able to establish you by my gospel. You know, in this book, Romans, Paul calls gospel my gospel two times in chapter 2, also this verse, my gospel. Are you able to say gospel, your gospel, my gospel? How? And by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ. This means gospel takes its source, its root in Jesus Christ, and gospel is to be delivered, passed, transmitted by man. Without Jesus Christ, there is no gospel. Without Jesus Christ, there can never gospel at all. Why? Because the heart of the gospel is Jesus Christ. The main theme, the main message of the gospel is Jesus Christ. Do you agree? Without Jesus Christ, no gospel. Do you agree? Amen. Then like this, without man to transmit it, others can never hear of it. You know, Christian duty is that when a man is himself of founder of Jesus Christ, he should straightforward go and transmit this gospel. Why? Because gospel is good news of great joy for all the people at the same time forever. Gospel is good news, not bad news. Joyful news, not sad news. Great news, not small news. Yes. Please remember, if you have this gospel in your heart, in your life, you should go straightway, and transmit this gospel to others. Andrew, we know in the book of John, chapter 1, yes, Andrew, after he was found of Jesus Christ, the first thing he did was to find his brother, who? Peter, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah." Also, Philip, when Philip was found by Jesus Christ, the first thing he did was he found his friend Nathanael and shouted, "We have found the one about whom Moses wrote in his law, also about whom prophets wrote." Do you know the story of Samaritan woman? Yes. After she was found by Jesus Christ, and she found living water in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, she immediately left her water jar and she returned to her town and shouted, come and see. Shall we say it together? Come, see.
Come, see.
Come and see. The one who told me everything I ever did. Could he be Christ? Yes. Here is the Christian privilege and Christian duty, responsibility. Please remember, Christian privilege is to appropriate this gospel, the good news of great joy, for ourselves. And Christian duty is to transmit this news, good news, to others. Let me say just one story. This is a story made by men, maybe. This is the story of conversation talking between Jesus Christ and angel in heaven. Then after his suffering, cross, resurrection, Jesus returned to his home, heaven, in his glory, still bearing much mark of suffering in his hand, in his side. Then the angel said to Jesus in heaven, "Welcome, welcome to your home." Then I thought, you must have suffered terribly, terribly so much for men, for all human beings down there. Is that true? Then Jesus answered, "Yes, that's true. I did." Then angel asked again, "Then do all human beings, do they, all human beings down there know that? Know about what you did for them?" Then Jesus answered, "No, not yet. Only a few know that so far." Then the angel asked again, "What have you done so that they should know the story of your love for them? What have you done so that they should know this story, this news of great joy that you have done for them?" Then Jesus answered, "Yes, I asked. I commissioned my believers, my followers, my disciples, my men, such as Peter, James, John, Paul, to make it their own main business to transmit this news to others. And the others, and the others, still the others, still the others, 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 until the farthest man in the widest circle to the very end of this earth has heard of this news." Then the angel looked suddenly a little doubtful, disappointed, because the angel knew very well what a poor creature man is. Then the angel asked again, "Then what if your men forget their main business? What if your men, your believers were raised in doing their duty, their responsibility? What if they were unfaithful in doing their responsibility? What if down their 21st century they failed to do their main job? What then? Haven't you ever any other plans? Haven't you made any other plans?" And Jesus answered, "No, I have not made any other plans. I am counting on them. I am counting on them." This is the answer of Jesus Christ. Yes, still today now, Jesus died to give us this gospel. And he is counting on you and me to transfer this news, transmit this news, deliver this news, pass this news to others, until the farthest man in this world hear this news. This is a very, very key characteristic of gospel. Second characteristic of gospel is, it is a gospel which is a consummation, you know, climax. This is a gospel which is a climax, consummation of human history. Let us see. Verse 25, let me read again. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. How long? Hidden for ages, for long ages past. Hidden. But for long ages past. Verse 26. Through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God. Prophets, yes, it means in the Old Testament there are many, many prophets. The prophets who wrote Old Testaments maybe did not understand fully what they wrote. But the prophets in the Old Testament, wrote what? Gospel message. They wrote about Jesus Christ by the command of God, by the inspiration of God. Even though they did not understand fully, they wrote about Jesus Christ. They wrote about Jesus coming, about Jesus suffering, about Jesus death, about Jesus resurrection, about Jesus ascension, about Jesus second coming, about the salvation of the world. Yes, about the salvation of the Gentiles. Let me introduce the story of gospel in the book of Old Testament. Yes, not only New Testament, but also Old Testament is the story of gospel. Gospel. Do you believe this?
Amen.
Do you believe this? Even Old Testament is the story of gospel. It means even Old Testament is a story about whom? About Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Yes, we know Genesis 3:15 says, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush, he will strike your head. It means total destruction. And you will strike his heel. This means, this is the prophecy. This is the prophecy about the offspring of a woman will kill serpents. Then Galatians 4:4 reveals very clearly this offspring of woman is Messiah, Jesus Christ, to come. Galatians 4:4 says, when the time has come fully, God sent his son born of a woman. Also, Revelation 22 reveals very clearly this serpent is who? Whom? This serpent, Asian snake is the devil, Satan. So, yes, this Genesis 3:15 is first curse, first penalty found in the Bible after fall of man as eschatological judgment, but at the same time, this verse is a promise for restoration and eschatological salvation through the Messiah to come. That is why this verse, Genesis 3:15, is called first gospel, primitive evangel. In Korean, 원시복음. You know, Galatians 3:8 says, God preached the gospel to Abraham directly in advance. Wow, wow. Do you believe this? Yes, Genesis 12:2-3 says, God called Abraham and blessed him. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Why? The purpose is all families of the earth will be blessed through you. What does this mean? All the final purpose is all families of this earth can be blessed, can be saved through the Messiah to come through you. Yes, this is gospel. Acts 10:43 says very, very clearly, all prophets in the Old Testament, all prophets in the Old Testament testify about Jesus Christ, that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sin through his name. Whose name? Jesus Christ. Yes. Gospel is the consummation of human history. Because with the coming of Jesus Christ, something unique happened. The coming of Jesus Christ was the greatest event to which all history was working up. This event, greatest event through which all following history flows. Yes, we know after the coming of Jesus Christ, we count, 1, 2, 3, we count, we date time, year, in terms of before, after Jesus coming. Yes, the coming of Jesus Christ is the greatest events in human history. It is a central fact of history. It means eternity invades time. God emerges on the earth. Yes, it is as if with Jesus coming, life and the world began all over again. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Jesus Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. First characteristic of gospel is, yes, it is a gospel which is intended for all human beings. Also, was always intended, meant for all human beings. You know, verse 26 says again, but now, when is now? Now is the present. Now revealed and made known, so that all nations might believe and obey him. Yes, gospel is meant for all nations, all peoples, all tribes, all languages, every single individual person since creation of the world. Gospel was not meant for Jews alone. Gospels going out to the Gentiles was not afterthought. Originally, from the beginning, gospel has been meant for all human beings, including you and me. Do you believe this? That's why Matthew 24:14 says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all worlds as a testimony, as a witness to all nations. And then who comes? Jesus comes. And then the end will come. Jesus' last command is, therefore, go into the world and preach this good news gospel to all creatures, all human beings. Fifth characteristic of the gospel is, it is a gospel which issues on an obedient words. Words where Jesus is king. Last part of verse 26, all nations might believe and what? Obey him. Do you obey? Please remember, obedience is another name for faith. Obedience, shall we say together? Obedience is another name for faith. Obedience is another name for faith. This obedience is not founded on submission to an iron law, but it is an obedience founded on faith in Jesus Christ. On a surrender, which is the result of love. This means, do you obey God? Amen. We have not surrendered to God because of terror, because of afraid, because of fright, but because we have fallen in love with Jesus Christ, who loved us first, as far as to die on the cross to give us eternal life. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16 we know. But I want to ask you, I want to challenge you, John 3:16, not only in your brain, but also in your heart, really? Really? God so loved the world. World means man, human beings. God so loved you and me. He gave his one and only son. So that whoever, including you and me, whoever, anyone, everyone, who believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. 1 John 4:10 says, very clear, this is love. Not that you loved God, but that God loved you. And he gave his only son as an atoning sacrifice for your sin, for my sin. And finally, verse 27 says, it is to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. This is a doxology. There is an interesting thing in terminology. Glory. Greek word for glory is doxa. Shall we say doxa?
Doxa.
Greek. In Greek, glory, Greek for glory is doxa. Then English word doxology. Doxology comes from Greek word doxa. Doxa. So we can say like this, doxology. Doxology is praise to God for his glory. Yes, glory. Yes. Please remember, ultimate purpose of all universe, not only nature, creation, living thing, non-living thing, is to glorify God. Reveal, show, display God's glory. What is the final purpose of your existence in this world? To be happy? No. To glorify God. To bring glory to God. What is the glory of God? It is who God is. We can say God's glory is the essence of his nature. The weight of his importance, the weight of his significance, and demonstration of his power, manifestation of his wisdom, expression of his goodness, holiness, and all his other intrinsic, inward qualities and attributes, and the atmosphere of his presence. Yes, our final purpose is to bring glory to God. How can we bring glory to God? How? Last verse, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Conclusion is, we can bring glory to God through whom? Through Jesus Christ. Except for through Jesus Christ, it is absolutely impossible to bring glory to God. Let me share with you just quickly four things. How we can bring glory to God. In one sentence, through whom? Through Jesus Christ. Okay. Number one, we can bring glory to God by believing and accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. Do you believe and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? Jesus says in John chapter 11, verse 40, very clearly, if you believe me, you will see the glory of God. How clear. It is very simple, basic, but fundamental. The most important, we can bring glory to God by believing, accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Number two, we can bring glory to God, how? By worshiping God in the name of Jesus Christ. We are worshiping God now. Are you worshiping God in the name of Jesus Christ right now here, really, in spirit, in truth? Amen. Amen. Yes, worship is our first responsibility to God. We worship God by enjoying him. You know, God invites us to enjoy him in worship. I once ask you, what is the motivation of your worshiping God? God wants our worship to be motivated by love, thanksgiving, delight, joy, not duty. Worship is far more than praising, singing, praying to God, announcing, sermon. Worship is more than all things we are doing in this time. Worship is a lifestyle of enjoying God, loving God, giving ourselves to be used for his glory. When we use our life, our time, our things for his glory, everything we do can become an act of worship. Number four, how we can bring glory to God. Yes, we can bring glory to God by bearing much fruit. Jesus says, John chapter 15, verse 8, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." This is very clear, common sense. Imagine there are trees, beautiful, huge, big tree, but no fruits. No life. No fruit means no fruits. Through fruits, we can bring glory to God. It means becoming more and more like Jesus Christ in our character, in our attitude, in our person. We can bring glory to God. Number four, lastly, yes, this is a very practical and key point in this closing of this letter, Romans. We can check yourselves with this last point. We can bring glory. Do you want to bring glory to God?
Amen.
Amen. If you want, listen carefully. We can bring glory to God by proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and helping others to confess Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Remember, this is the last sentence in sermon. We can bring glory to God by proclaiming Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord and helping others to confess Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Philippians 2:11 says that every mouth, every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God Father. Very clear, very clear. God has a dream. Do you have a dream? Do you have a dream? Martin King? Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream. I have a dream." He says, "I have a dream. One day comes when white boy, black boy play together in hand in hand." Beautiful dream. What is your dream? God has a dream. God has a dream. Shall we say it together? God has a dream.
God has a dream.
God has a dream that someday the knowledge and acknowledgments of Jesus Christ as a Savior and Lord and King will cover all the earth, all the universe, not only heaven but earth, all universe, just as the waters cover the sea, the oceans. Let me repeat, this is the last sentence in Sermon of Romans. God has a dream that someday, one day, the knowledge and acknowledgments of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and King will cover all the universe, just as the waters cover the sea, the oceans. We can bring glory to God by helping his dream come true. We can bring glory to God by helping God's dream come true, realized. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you so that you may bring glory to God. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Let us pray together. Let us take individual time. Okay, you have one more time, please. Make up your mind, decision, determination to glory, to glorify God, to bring glory to God through your life, through your time, through your offering, through your talent, through your action, through your tongue, through your steps. The fundamental, the ultimate purpose why we should be here in this world is to bring glory to God. You know, if you fail to bring glory to God through your life, whatever you do, everything you are doing is totally meaningless in the sight of God. God, we praise you, we thank you, we exalt you for your beautiful book, Romans. Father, we believe still this book is alive and touching our hearts, moving our hearts, and motivating our hearts to live, to walk, to go forward. Thank you for this wonderful gospel, the good news of great joy for all the people, at the same time, eternally and eternally. Father God, we know the very purpose why we live in this world is to glorify you, to bring glory to you. We can bring glory to you by believing, by accepting our Lord Jesus Christ, by bearing fruits, by becoming more and more like you, our Lord, our Savior, our example, Jesus Christ. Also by proclaiming, by helping others to confess Jesus, Lord, Savior. Father, thank you for your long patience. Thank you for your long suffering. Thank you for your believing us, even though we are very, very unfaithful, faithless many times, but you are so faithful. Your faithfulness is great, great, beyond our understanding, beyond our description. Thank you for your patience and suffering and goodness, kindness, gentleness. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your being with us as Emmanuel. All glory back to you. This is our praise and prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand firm in the presence of God, and let us sing holy songs.